When I don't like my life, I don't like my child. That's so often the case. When I don't like what's going on, when I don't like my schedule, when I don't like my busyness, my child is an interference. Sometimes we need to look at what we don't like and see what we can change. That will help our parenting.
You're listening to Parenting on Purpose with Dr. Bob Barnes from Sheridan House Family Ministries. I'm your host, Ruthie J, and a couple weeks ago went on vacation, and it was wonderful. We came back. Hadn't seen the kids in a little while, so we wanted to do something fun with the kids, and I'm all thinking about laundry and getting everything ready to go back to work, and I find myself so frustrated because the kids wanted to have fun, and I had laundry to do, and I had to take a step back and think, okay, you're frustrated because you're tired, because you have a lot of things on your plate, but it's not wrong that they want to have fun. And, you know, you have to make the best choice and decision for the moment, but it was an eye-opener for me. Like, I don't like this situation right now. And I was very tempted to get cranky. It was my husband's happiness that turned the mood around.
Wow, cool. What will I be glad I did a month from now?
Yeah.
The laundry or had fun with the kids?
Yeah.
When you're still at a state where your kids still want to come, still are coming to you saying, let's do something. Basically saying, we're so glad you're home.
Mm-hmm.
And after a period of time, that won't happen anymore.
Right.
Oh, they're home.
Right.
So I think it's what are we going to be glad we did? Later on in the week, month, years. And I think what you said is one of the problems. I think the American parent, especially the American mom, has unrealistic expectations in her schedule. She thinks she can get so many things done. It's that Anjali commercial from a decade ago. She does it all perfectly. That woman doesn't exist. Nobody does all those things.
And if I just may say so, we read Proverbs 31 and that is the goal. But sometimes then we think that looks like the woman that lives next door to us that has picture-perfect home and her kids are perfect, and then, you
know— Could there be a Proverbs 32,
yeah,
please?
Exactly. And is this realistic or not? And I think the chapter describes a woman on a whole. You know, not every moment is she bartering for something and cleaning the house and training her kids and working and, you know, looking great with her hair amazing. So it is frustrating.
Wow.
Excuse me.
Wow.
That's too much coming out today.
Did you not take your medication this morning? Wow.
This morning.
Unbelievable. That's awesome. Hey, you go it. You're defending the female of America. I do think that the American female has been told that she can do it all and you can't do it all, and has been told just keep putting more things on that shelf, and then things are falling off the back of the shelf because she's stuffing more things. I know I've told this story before, but it was just an amazing moment for me. Back in the late 80s, there was an organization called WELF, Women's Educational League Fund or something, that was funding family symposiums for the United States Senate. Each senator could go back to his home state, and they would have a convention center, and they'd have a liberal speaker on family, a conservative speaker on family. And they must not have been paying much because nobody really wanted to do it. So they went through a list of about 45,000 speakers, and I got to be the speaker for the conservative one.
Sure,
and
that.
It was very, very fun, and got to see a lot of neat people. The last one was in Anchorage, Alaska, with Senator Ted Stevens. And I believe, if I remember it right, Jane Pauley was supposed to be the liberal speaker on family. And it was when she lost her job with Good Morning America and she backed out of everything. And they picked a speaker who was equally as conservative as me, Good Morning San Diego or San Francisco or something. And she spoke first for about 45 minutes. And she really left me no room. It was amazing. So I went up to speak, and it was the last one anyway. I just went for broke. We're told not to use the Bible in the other ones, but you can use verses without using the Bible.
Oh,
the
sure.
Challenge is to train up a child. You know, the proverb is to train up a child in the way he should go.
Mm-hmm.
But I went for it. And the whole front row was full of women wearing NOW buttons, and they were so mad their heads were smoking. And I finished, and they were over on the right-hand side of this auditorium, and I went down the left-hand stairs. I didn't want to be near them. And Rosemary was sitting on the front row with, I think it was Jack Kemp's wife. I can't remember. Beautiful Christian woman. And they knew what was coming before I did. And as I'm coming off the stage, the NOW ladies are jumping up to come at me. And they're praying. Either they both passed out or they're praying. And they get me up against the wall in the Coliseum with the Anchorage local affiliate guy there with a camera watching them, screaming at me.
Oh my goodness.
A woman is working her way through them to get to me. And I don't know what she's going to do when she gets there. And, you know, what do you do?
What were they telling you?
They were mad. Well, the first thing I heard was, what rock did you crawl out from under? And so this woman gets 4 feet from me and spins around at them and screams at them in horrible language, "You lied to us," to them.
Wow.
To N.O.W. Yeah, it was amazing. She said, "You told us we could have beautiful career, beautiful home, beautiful marriage, beautiful children." She said, "I have a mediocre law practice. I've lost my home. I'm back in an apartment. I share my kids because I'm divorced. You lied to us. We can't do it all." And everybody just left. And she just kind of stood there, tears coming down her face, looked at me, didn't say anything, walked away. The Anchorage affiliate looked at me, stopped the camera, looked at me and said, "That woman just saved your life, man."
Yeah.
And I went out to lunch with some people after that and thought, wow, that is true. The burden we've put on the American woman. I mean, maybe it's not that she doesn't like her child. Maybe she just doesn't like her life. Maybe, yes, her child is an interference. Yes, her child is in the way because the child is a child and the child doesn't get it all right. But if your life is too full of stuff, then you're counting on your child not interrupting, not being late, not losing their notebook.
And you want your child to be a relief almost. Okay, I have to go pick them up. You rush so you're not that late and your child's not so disappointed in you because you came 30 minutes late to pick them up. Yeah. They're upset and you just want a happy child. Can you just be happy to see me? I just raced through traffic. I'm sweating and now you're upset and I'm upset and we're both upset at each other and I don't like this.
That sounds like a golf game. I'm late to play golf, but golf is supposed to bring me happiness. You know, your child's not your hobby.
But Dr. Barnes, a lot of men do like golf and women like golf. So
that's true. That's a hobby. This is a ministry.
It's a child.
and it is the greatest thing you'll ever do. Your legacy is your children. They just don't cooperate.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes your children are there, especially we all have that one child that is the reflection of the frustration in the home, or the reflection of the marital difficulties in the home, or the reflection of some pain. Some children will go off by themselves, and because you're so busy, so confused, you're personally in so much pain. That child goes off by themselves and you don't really notice it and you're kind of saying, great. But the other child's not going to do that. When my mom died, I was the reflection of the pain. I got angry. I got very, very dysfunctional. I went from doing well in school to a real difficult time in school. And so I reflected the family pain and I became a burden. And I have to believe my dad didn't like me very much. I mean, as soon as I got out the door, he sent my brother off to military academies the rest of his life. I'm done with parenting. I think sometimes the child we don't like might be making a statement and they don't know how to make the right statement. "Excuse me, Mom, can I talk to you for a little bit? Our family needs some help right now. Could we go for counseling?" No, they don't know how to do that.
They just act up.
They just act up. They just forget things. They just do things that demand your attention. And if you're too busy, it's not going to work. They're going to get in the way.
And the problem is, though, they're almost reminding you that things are off balance.
If
we hear it, yeah. But then the challenge is then admitting it and knowing that, okay, we're working on this, you know, that it's not perfect.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's a season as well. And to be honest, mommies have bad days too.
Oh, I've
had mine where I just, "Honey, today is not the day to have fun. I'm just very tired and I'm cranky. I can have a cranky day every once in a while and I'll shut my mouth."
Well, should we be turning the radio off now so we could just talk about
No, Ruthie? But I've seen it a whole lot. It doesn't mean you're a bad parent, I think.
But let me say this too. You know, I and this happened in a night. I got home, and this was actually pre-children. I got home and Rosemary said, "Could we go do such and such?" And I said, "You know what? I'm exhausted. It was a real bad day, Sharon. I'm exhausted. I'm sitting in the picture window in our living room. I look outside and my best friend and his wife, Mike and Sandy, pull up in front of our house. I get up. I don't even wait for them to come to the door. I go out there and Mike says, "Hey, we're going over to such and such to grab a bite. Do you want to go?" I come in to Rosemary and say, "You know, Mike and Sandy are here. They're out front." And she's so great. She said, "Do you want to go?" And she looks at me and says, "Yeah, let's go." It was later on that night. She said, "You know, you chose to be in a good mood. You chose to go do that. You didn't choose that for us. You chose." I think we pull in, yes, we're tired, but there are moments when you can get jacked and there are moments when your family needs for you to get jacked and you can collapse later on. And so I had to work on me. I'm driving home now. I'm exhausted, but I'm going home to do the thing I say I live and work for. Sheridan House is not what I live and work for. I'm going home to do the thing I say and I live and work for. So I got to get my head wrapped around this and call home to Rosemary and say, "Hey, what's up?" And she says, "Well, Tori's a little, you know, had a whatever, or Roby had a whatever, and somebody hurt his feelings." And I got to to get Jack to go home, to go in, to try to come into the house, make everybody laugh, and then find that child that I need to go into the backyard and sit with, go in the backyard and throw a kick, a soccer ball, do whatever with, and find a way to help him process. But if we're so busy, we'll never be able to do that. It's like you've heard me say, we finished soccer season 1 year, and I told the guys that the other soccer dads during the second to last game, when they asked me which baseball league or whatever sport came next, did you sign Roby up for? I said, we didn't sign him up for any. We're going home. We play one sport a year. And they just looked at me, and no one said anything. I got a phone call from one of them who was a professional in our community, and he said, I got to ask you, first, why, and second, what? I mean, why are you doing that, and what are you going to do? And I said, because we need to spend time as a family. Mm-hmm. Life's not all about performance. We got so much stress in our lives, get here, get there, that we're not exhaling at all. And he said, well, what are you going to do? And I said, we went and bought a model of an aircraft carrier, and we're going to put together our first model. I want to see if this kid's an engineer, but also I just want to spend time across the table, not performing, time across the table talking with this child. Mm-hmm. We are so busy that that child's going to reflect the stress and be hard to like.
Isn't it realistic, though, to also say that parents have also very unlikable days, too, that mm-hmm. we can stress out? I mean, we control ourselves, but there are days you just want, you know, kids, let's just lay low tonight and let's just not.
I think it's acceptable to lay low tonight. But I think it's responsible also to know, as the parent, I'm to set the attitude. I'm the attitude maintenance person as a parent. And so I think I've got to get my brain wrapped around of, I really, really, really don't want to do this. Here's an interesting thing that happened. I do not like, I can't even believe I'm saying this into the radio, I do not like events. Sheridan House has lots of events.
Yes, they do.
And somebody made the statement at the auction, who knows me very well. We had our auction Friday night. And somebody said, you're hilarious at these auctions. And it was at the Dolphin Training Center. And I wore a referee's outfit and had a whistle. And I caused so much trouble.
Forget it.
And I said, you know what? I don't like these events, but I talk myself into, this is my responsibility. They expect me to like this event. I'm going to go have fun. And then, you know, I got in the car at 10 o'clock at night and drove away from that event with Rosemary. I was done. I was toast. I was fried. And she said, you know, no one could imagine how much you don't like these events when they watch you in there. I had to get my brain wrapped around that years ago because I didn't do a good job at these events years ago. You know, Lord, I'm going in to serve right now. And I did have a bad day and everything went wrong. And I know that all things work together for good. And if I can get my attitude into going into this house now or picking up the kids now and be in a good mood, I know you're going to use that for something for me. I know it's not for them. I know it's for me. But I'm the adult. Mm-hmm. And I also want to teach my children how to turn it. I want to teach my children how to turn the corner.
Like self-control?
Yeah, how to turn the corner on choose to be happy. Mm. You know, Paul said, I've learned to be content. He said, count it all joy. Those things he wrote from prison. Jesus goes from a confrontation of the Pharisees to loving on these people rather than to say, forget it. I'm done with you. Bring the flood. We're done. Right. We're going to wipe it out again. And so do I always do this right? No. I want to get better and better and better and better.
That's the ultimate almost.
Yeah.
The ultimate of adulthood is being
mature. It's called being mature.
Right. Mature enough to be in total control of even your attitude.
Ask your mom. Yeah, I love your mom. Your mom's a legend. She's awesome. In our community. Your parents are amazing. How many times she didn't want to and got in a good mood to be a parent. And yeah, it's taking the kids on a long car trip where you're choosing to be in a good mood. You're choosing. And when my kids were teenagers, taking them for 7 weeks around North America, when all they did initially said, do I have to go? Yes, you have to go. A 12-year-old and a 15-year-old.
Yeah.
And choosing to be fun and choosing to make them laugh and deciding I am, you know, those Youth for Christ guys, and you're kind of like them because you do a lot of youth work, where they are jacked and everybody's laughing at them. When you go home, you got to choose to be this. If we're so busy, everybody's stressed out. And sometimes it's that kid that you don't like to be with that is the family thermometer saying too much stuff. We're doing too much stuff. Could we just stop? Could we just play Pictionary tonight? They're never going to ask to do that. They're going to say, can everybody just leave me alone? We've got to draw them in. It's our responsibility to choose wisely, to choose to be in a good mood, to choose to be a leader.
You've been listening to Dr. Bob Barnes from Sheridan House Family Ministries here on Parenting on Purpose. I'm your host, Ruthie J. And if you want to hear today's program again, sign up to get these programs automatically through an app for just about any device that you have. Even sign up to get the email that comes with the corresponding blog every weekday. That's online at parentingonpurpose.org. And if you want to find out more about the Children's Homes at Sheridan House Family Ministries, there's also a lot of resources by Dr. Bob Barnes online, and all the proceeds go to support the Children's Homes directly. Find that at shfm.org. It's short for Sheridan House Family Ministries. And we hope you join us tomorrow as we wrap up this topic of those moments when my child is difficult to like on Parenting on Purpose.